always have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does. Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7. On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
So really, the position we're in right now, they've already allocated the funds, and we're just being asked to rubber stamp what they've done or say, no, we don't want it, even though you allocated the funds? I mean, because they've already allocated them.
So, well, essentially, yes, but this allocation is part of the recommended 2027 TDT budget to the Board of County Commissioners. But additionally, American Magic got a three-year deal, $500,000 a year for American Magic. So we did contribute 1.5 toward American Magic previously.
And that was from TDT funds also?
Yes, sir, it was.
Okay, so backdrop here. This is the Tourism Development Council. They spend the bed tax money, TDT. This is Charles Baer, who has one of the two representatives of the city. Jen Brayer is the other one. And, you know, Charles is often willing to be the one on the 7-1 vote or 6-1 vote or, you know, to raise questions other people don't want to raise. But in this case, he happens to have a lot of other people on his side questioning the application for Foiling Week, which is an event to come here next year and have a bunch of sailing things happen. You know, the hydrofoils that they use nowadays, modern foiling, and to do this big extravaganza, which has been done elsewhere. And they've, you know, they've gotten some local, you know, notables to come pitch for them. Bobby Switzer came. He had not ever done any of these presentations before, but, you know, there was some complaining by Mitesh Patel, one of the members of the council, that, you know, I don't like how these entities, in this case, a foreign essentially entity comes and says, you know, hey, let's get a local who's a heavy hitter and come in and pitch to us. And then we're supposed to be swayed by that. There's also there's a kind of a simmering and understandable resentment by the TDC that, you know, what they do isn't necessarily honored by what the county commission does, because the county commission makes the ultimate decisions. The five commissioners make the decisions. CDC is there to vet things. There's a process. And like many government boards or councils, they get frustrated when their views are not obeyed, when their recommendations are overlooked. You know, think about the library board. You know, this is a common enough problem. You know, the planning board says this and the county commission says, no, we're going to do that. Or the library board says this, but the county administrator has different, you know, this is a frustrating thing for subordinate boards, sometimes with more legal justification than others to be upset. Anyway, in the last go around, the TDC voted not to allocate funding. And then as one of the losing members of that vote, David Baer went to the county commission and said, I want you to support this. And they did. Well, Jim Reeves, who sits on the TDC with David, is frustrated about this and thinks that it's an inappropriate form of lobbying. And it's kind of a betrayal of the TDC. And what David is saying is, look, I went on my own initiative. I didn't go as a representative of the board. And you're kind of caught up on all of this. And, you know, Charles Baer feels like, well, also, they've already appropriated this. And what are we being asked to do but to come behind and say yes to what they've already basically said yes to? Jason Nicholson, who's the chair of the board.
It's just for procedural, it's my intent to call for a vote to support or not support the allocation as stated.
Right, which is weird, almost a formality at this point, since the county commission has already approved this. Charles Baer?
The concerns over policing, it was during Mardi Gras and things of that nature. I just don't feel like it's a very coordinated effort. It may bring some people here. It's really not a spectator event, as our chairman mentioned. It's just, to me, I don't really think it matters what we say up here, because the Board of County Commissioners has already allocated $375,000, and I don't know if they're going to go back on that. I doubt it.
$375,000, and this is a familiar complaint from Charles and others, but he's one that says it a lot because he's on the losing votes of a lot of things, is, he gets frustrated that it doesn't really matter what he does, which is understandable, but it's also the byproduct of being on the minority in a lot of things, whether it's at the TPO or the TDC or the city council or anything else. Jim Reeves, and here's where it's going to start to boil over a little bit.
This is the same thing that we voted down. And Mr. Bear went to the county commission, even though this group had voted it down, and he was the chairman. He went individually. But, I mean, I hate to spend a lot of time. I feel like you do. I hate to spend a lot of time on something, even though I know it's, why are they working with the Pensacola Beach Yacht Club instead of the Pensacola Yacht Club? You know, there's probably 20 members of the Pensacola Beach Yacht Club.
I don't know how many people are actually in the Pensacola Beach Yacht Club, but I do know that Jim Reeves is on the board of the Pensacola Yacht Club, and that's going to become relevant in a second. We'll come back to this in a moment. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. County Road 196 at North Century Boulevard in Cantonment. Looks like they are detouring people to Palafox on the one side or Jack's Branch Road on the other, so just be use caution through that area. Also, a vehicle crash North Navy Boulevard right near Patton Drive in Pensacola. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it, PJ. Back to the conversation being had at the TDC over foiling week and, as I said, simmering background frustration disagreement between Jim Reeves and David Bear. Key fact to note is that Jim is on the board of the Pensacola Yacht Club, and the question of whether they, why they did not work with some local organizations like the Pensacola Yacht Club, again, Jim is going to keep talking here. And David's voice you'll hear in a second.
I just don't feel like they're coordinating. And the real question to me is, why is Mr. Bear so interested in this? That Mr. Bear.
David Bear versus Charles Bear. Okay.
You don't have to answer.
Yeah, I don't know that it's
been... I'm happy to answer.
He's kind of implying there's some additional motive or some additional benefit that David's getting out of all this.
I'm very interested because I'm interested in developing our tourism. I've never been the chair of a yacht club board.
Which Jim is, right? So shots fired, shots back.
So I'm not disinterested because of a conflict or a perceived conflict of interest.
Ouch.
But I have been involved in tourism and developing events of tourism and served on this board for 8 years now.
And so, you know, a little bit of a you say about me, I'm going to say about you.
And one of the things that I've learned in trying to help develop tourism is that the almighty international tourist is a target. And this event brings in an international tourist who stays longer, spends more money. These folks bring their teams. They bring equipment and they stay the entire week, however long this event is, and bring their families. Just like we pay for, you know, when we market towards sports, other sports events, you know, excuse me, they're bringing their families, they're bringing their teams. They spend money in our hotels, in our restaurants, in our shops, and they support our local communities. And the international tourists, generally speaking, because it costs more to get here, have more discretionary income to spend on their trips when they come to America.
Foreigners bring good money. They've got enough to come here. They've got enough to be engaged in a fairly high affluence level sport like foiling. Those are the kind of people that we want to be bringing here with our advertising, marketing, our promotions, our events, all of that kind of stuff.
And so that's one of the reasons I've been very support of this event.
I appreciate that, but it kind of concerns me when you're the leader of the group and you just turn around the next day and go before the county commissioners and tell everybody else kiss your foot, you know.
Well, if you go back and watch that November meeting, I didn't advocate on behalf. I answered some questions by the. No, I know you don't want to. You don't want to talk about it after you finish saying something about it, Mr. Reeves.
Sure,
but
I want to talk about it.
Okay. Well, you're welcome to go look at the November meeting. county commission meeting.
I don't
meeting.
Have to look at the November meeting.
Y'all, in the interest of time, let's move this along.
I think, you know, although it's entertaining, the conflict and the bickering, Jason Nicholson is right to try to move it along. You know, there's only so much Milton you can take in downtown Pensacola at a time. But, you know, this is local government at its finest, at its something. Anyway, so in the end, the question is, do they want to fund $375,000 or not, or do they want to recommend the funding of that? When, again, the county commission has already approved this. This is, you know, they've got 3 years of the deal done, and now the TDC is being asked to kind of, after they voted no, to come back and say, okay, fine, I guess we'll vote yes because you already voted yes. And Jen Brer, city councilwoman.
Moving on to item C, the foiling event.
The earlier one was like a workshop discussion, and this is the actual voting portion. That's why it kind of sounds a little bit odd.
So I do have a question on this one. The amount listed on the agenda is $375,000, but the amount listed on the application was $500,000. Which one are we?
They amended their application to correct the amount requested on the second application.
Okay.
And it is $375,000 to answer your question specifically.
Perfect. Thank you.
I'll make a motion to decline this one.
So, again, they voted no the first time. The BCC overrode them and gave them a three-year deal. And now Jen Brer's like, I'm going to vote no again. Let's vote for zero.
I don't know how that works. I don't think we can do that.
Yes, you can. You can make a motion to not fund them.
Yes.
Zero.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
How do you think this is going to turn out? Like, if you just had to guess, this is the TDC, like, you know, Jen Brer and Charles Baer planting their flag and saying no and hell no, even though you've already told us you're going to do it. How do you think the vote's going to go?
Misty, will please call the roll.
Matish.
What is the motion? You're voting to fund it at zero, so we're not funding foiling. It'll be at zero.
Yes. He says yes. Same. So a yes is a no. You follow? Like a yes is a zero. A yes is a, you know, high sign to the Board of County Commissioners. We do not want to fund it. So Matesh has said yes, which is no.
James Reeves.
Yes.
2-0.
Ashley Hoffberger.
Yes.
3-0.
Charles Baer.
Yes.
4-0.
Jason Nicholson.
Yes.
5-0.
Jennifer Brer.
Yes.
6-0.
Mary Hoxing.
Yes.
7-0.
David Baer.
No.
7-1. And Ashley Hoffberger even reversed her position, because she had voted for the deal at the BCC and now is voting against the deal at the TDC. So I don't know how that's going to work out in the end. But, yeah, kind of some interesting, you know, intergovernmental drama going on. And then at the very end of the meeting, it was kind of funny because, you know, Jim Reeves and David Baird kind of had this little bit of back and forth, healthy, unhealthy, whatever you want to say. And Jim Reeves.
Thank you very much for, I think, everybody's patient time. And Lewis, David, I apologize.
Lewis is his dad, of course, who recently passed away.
And
had been on all the boards with Jim. I mean, two big, very local, influential people.
I just get emotional about that one thing.
The going behind the back or going around them to say what he wanted as opposed to what the board voted for.
So please don't go back to the county commission.
And Mr. Reeves, I won't hold it against you. Every once in a while, I miss my dad, and you just bring it all back for me. Thank you.
That may sound like praise. It is not. It is. Lewis Baer was a formidable person, and, you know, I think David did not always get told yes by his dad. I'll just put it that way, so... Oh, man. I don't know. I found it, knowing all these people, I know you may not know all these people, but these are the people who make decisions in our community and are influential, and I thought you'd find it, A, interesting on the issue of what they do and do not fund, which is basic function of government, but B, on the personality side, very interesting. 724 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need a roof, or you're not sure if you need a roof, or you need a roof repair, you're not sure if it's a replacement or a repair, call Quality Roofing Solutions. They will take care of you. Brian Ward started the company in 2006, and ever since they've done nothing but make roofs. 10,000 roofs in this area over the last 20 years, which is a lot. And a 4.9 rating on Google, which is insanely high for a company of their sort. They lifetime warranty the workmanship of all their roofs. They will call you back. They will answer your questions. They will not talk down to you because you do not know, and they will not make you feel dumb for not knowing, and they will not talk in the, like, gobbledygook of contractor speak. They know how to speak to you like you're a person. There's a reason they're rated a 4.9. I had a good friend who just did a roof replacement, and she's like, I had several different people come in and quote us. They weren't the cheapest, but they were definitely not the most expensive, but they made me feel comfortable. I did it, and I was so glad I did. They did exactly what they're supposed to do, treated me well. Like, four other people on her block got roofs as a result of her getting a roof from Quality Roofing Solutions. So they're the folks that you can work with. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961. Traffic on the fives, PJ.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. County Road 196 at North Century Boulevard in Cantonment. Looks like the inside southbound lane of US 29 is finally open. Also, Breakfast with the Blues is happening this morning in Pensacola Beach. The Bob Sykes Toll Plaza is backed up with traffic right now. That has US 98 southbound through Gulf Breeze backed up as well. Also, US 98 westbound as you're passing by the Naval Live Oaks area, seeing quite a bit of traffic. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Who is Jesus? Some people say he was a prophet or a rabbi. Some say he was just an interesting historical figure. Really, the question, who is Jesus, is the most important question facing mankind. He wasn't just Jesus of Nazareth, but he was more than that. The Bible explains that he is Jesus the Christ. He is the anointed one, the Messiah. Jesus isn't just a prophet, but he is the prophet. He is the one that Isaiah prophesied would be born of a virgin. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Who is Jesus? The best answer is, he is God. I encourage you to rejoice in him and give your life to him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Pensacola Beach RV Resort is the perfect getaway. Family-oriented and pet-friendly, Pensacola Beach RV Resort is within walking distance of world-class beaches, dining, shopping, and more. Stay in one of their beachfront spots facing Santa Rosa Sound and enjoy a private beach, sugar white sand, pool, and tiki bar. Pensacola Beach RV Resort can accommodate large rigs or no rig. Ask about tiki huts, cabins, and bungalows. Visit PensacolaRVResorts.com. Pensacola Beach RV Resort, proud supporters of the Blue Angels.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
As Florida parents, we have a choice about where our children receive their education. I'm a mom of four, and I've chosen Santa Rosa County Public Schools for my family. That's why I'm running for school board. I have a vested interest in making sure our children receive a quality education. I'll be your advocate in our community, promoting transparency, fiscal responsibility, and a brighter future for every student. I'm Jill Broxenteston. I'll be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxenteston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
They think I'm hiding in the shadows. But I am the shadows.
The good old days of the internet. 728 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. As PJ mentioned a moment ago, Bob Sykes Bridge is totally jacked up because of Breakfast with the Blues coming up this morning soon, right? 8 o'clock, isn't that when that all begins? I believe so. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Good morning. The U.S. launching some more military strikes against Iran this morning. In a post on social media, U.S. Central Command said it began launching a wave of strikes at 6 a.m. Eastern. The post said the strikes are designed to, again, further degrade military capabilities. ICE agents are now reportedly being told to end most vehicle stops, at least for the time being. That policy update after two deadly shootings involving agents in under a week. In both instances, the men killed were not the intended targets. And The American League beat the National League in Tuesday's Major League Baseball All-Star Game from Philadelphia yesterday. Yankees outfielder Cody Bellinger received the Ted Williams All-Star Game MVP award.
Yeah, it was a was not the most interesting game. I mean, the first time they'd been shut out, and there's been a shutout in 13 years, and it was basically the, you know, the top of the first inning. The American League scored three runs on pretty, you know, pitching by, I forget the name of the guy who was starting. And then the rest of the game was basically there was one home run the rest of the game and no other runs. And, you know, there was a pretty scary moment, actually, when the Cardinals pitcher, you know, hit one of the other players in the hand. You never like to see that in the All-Star game. I like the old days. I like the old days when it is the best team of the American League and the best team of the National League playing each other for the game, like it's a real game, instead of the, you know, everybody participates round to round. But I don't like that approach to this at all.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. U.S. Central Command announces the first daytime airstrikes in Iran since President Trump announced the end of a ceasefire. He tells Fox his objectives, Iran never having nuclear weapon or closing the Strait of Hormuz and having a degraded military, are met.
Well, I think they're completed now, honestly. If we left right now, it would take them 20 years to rebuild what they have.
Iran's threatening to block more trade routes in the region. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche is a Senate confirmation hearing today.
Part of President Trump's issue today with getting Blanche through might be Republicans, including Tom Tillis and John Cornyn. Both of those men could vote Blanche down if he cannot assure them that the so-called weaponization fund to pay out people with taxpayer money who think they have been wronged by the federal government is dead.
Fox's Peter Ducey. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 76 degrees. We'll get a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. Well, the tall ship Elissa is headed back to Pensacola, making up for that missed visit from Memorial Day weekend. It'll dock in Pensacola in early August, and visitors will have a chance to take free tours, and also they'll be offering paid sunset sails. A representative with the Galveston Historical Foundation says the free tours, though, will be the main focus.
The priority is always to get people on deck and on the tour of the boat, and that's done during the day, and then we will work the schedule around that. So it's an addition that we're able to do, but not taking away from anything that we're planning or had planned to do on the original dates.
The Elissa will dock at Plaza de Luna August 6th through the 10th. The free tours run alongside, again, those new paid sunset sails. Florida Highway Patrol making it four in a row. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this report. He says the state's cruisers are the officially best looking in the country.
For the fourth consecutive year, FHP has won the American Association of State Troopers Best Looking Cruiser Competition. This year's winning submission photo was taken in front of Tampa Sunshine Skyway Bridge, which was illuminated in red, white, and blue. The featured cruiser, an iconic black and tan 2023 Mustang 5.0 GT, is assigned to the 2025 Trooper of the Year, David Kitchen. Congratulations going out to FHP today. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. 7:33 here, News Radio 92.3. Just getting a note passed along. Looks like the Blues have just left NAS Pensacola for breakfast with the Blues this morning. Senator Rick Scott has introduced a new bill aimed at teaching kids about the risks of artificial intelligence. The Safeguard Kids Act would let schools use existing federal grant money for AI literacy programs and specialized counseling. Scott says kids need guidance now, not a Wild West approach to new technology. The bill points to rising concerns nationally about young people turning to AI chatbots for mental health support. A 17-year-old Milton boy is dead after a single vehicle crash. It happened early this morning in Santa Rosa County. FHP says the boy's truck was headed south on Munson Highway near Malone Road when it left the roadway and hit a tree. The 22-year-old driver suffering minor injuries. Neither the driver nor the teen passenger were wearing a seatbelt. The passenger's family has reportedly been notified. And it is 7:34 here at News Radio 92.3, just a few seconds early. But let's check in with PJ and get our traffic on the fives.
Traffic brought to you by White Sands Electric, providing comprehensive electrical and generator services along the Gulf Coast since 1997. Free estimates available, whitesandselectric.com. Taking a look at the big board right now. Still working that vehicle crash with injuries, County Road 196 and North Century Boulevard in Cantonment. Looks like the inside southbound lane is open to US 29. Also, the Breakfast with the Blues is happening this morning in Pensacola Beach. The Bob Sykes Toll Plaza is backed up with traffic right now. That also has US 98 westbound past the Naval Live Oaks area. Seeing quite a bit of congestion. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Lots of sunshine today with a 20% chance of a pop-up shower. High near 91 degrees as we will have temperatures feeling more like the upper 90s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies, 10% chance of rain, high near 92. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 81. Going into Friday, still seeing mostly sunny skies with a 30% chance of a pop-up storm, high near 93 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
We've got partly cloudy skies, 76 degrees. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Paul Murray with your money now. Morgan Stanley has posted record revenue and profit for the second quarter, driven by a 69% surge in equities trading revenue. The company said profit jumped 58% from a year earlier to nearly $5.6 billion. Revenue climbed 27% to roughly $21.3 billion. Zipline is growing its drone delivery business in the U.S. and has hired former Tesla, Uber Eats, and Waymo executives to help it scale up in new markets. The company is now making one drone delivery every 30 seconds, and the company said it has surpassed 2.5 million commercial deliveries to date. New York State Governor Kathy Hochul has signed an executive order banning the construction of new data centers using 50 megawatts or more of power for up to 1 year. Hochul said the main concerns are rising power costs and excessive water consumption. It is the first statewide data center ban in the U.S. Futures have risen, led by chip stocks. NASDAQ futures up by more than 100 points. Yesterday, the NASDAQ gained 162. That's your money now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Join Chris Roney from Ace Unlocks today at 9:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Chris will be sharing his years of expertise in the field of locksmithing, talking about topics like security benefits of having your home or business locks inspected and resecured, smart locks, and even reprogramming your car's ECU computer for a lost key fob.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
Hi, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensure our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board District 3.
You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Pensacola Morning News helps you understand what happened overnight, what's happening here at home, and why it matters before the rest of the day even gets started.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Blue Angels flying around, Breakfast with the Blues going on, all kinds of things in our area, and, of course, the Blue Angels weekend coming up. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, it's one of those great times to be a Pensacolian, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Excited for this week. And, we're kind of the secondary item this week, of course, everything happening out the beach, but always a great week growing up here and certainly in this job. So excited to be out there this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a wonderful time. We've got a lot of things to talk about. One, I did want to just, I didn't know if you had anything to contribute on the shooting from July 5th, the early morning shooting. There was video released yesterday. Some of the, probably say this tomorrow when I'm talking to PPD, but I watch these videos and I'm amazed that the police managed to learn as much as they learned. Cause I watch them. I'm like, I don't know what just happened. And I watched it five times, but I'm glad we have video. It helps solve these cases and it helps make the prosecutions after we make the arrest. So I appreciate that. Anything to update us on?
No, I mean, other than I just want our citizens to know that, you have a relentless, department and investigators and, the work continues, updates night and day. We're not done yet bringing people to justice. I certainly know that. But this isn't a three-day thing and then we're on to something else. You know, we have an awesome police department that's continuing to work around the clock to ensure that we send the message that this doesn't happen here. And when it does, this is going to be brought to justice quickly. So I'm just appreciative of our police department, and I certainly want our citizens to know how hard they're working.
And I assume we're going to get an update this morning at the press conference at 10 a.m. from Chief?
We will. That's okay. Right, at 10 o'clock. Right.
Perfect. Yep. I learned a little bit of that perspective several years ago. I remember talking to Tommy when he was the chief, about Tommy Leiter, about how, unsolved homicides never go away, and they come back to them again and again and again, even decades later, that's just a passion and relentless pursuit of those things. I'm not saying this falls in that category, but when people die through crime, that is something that the police and our sheriffs take extraordinarily seriously and diligently. I wanted to ask you, I don't know if there's an update to be had, but haven't heard much about the project down Community Maritime Park and the Hard Rock Reverb. They had asked for, last I remember, they had asked for an E-date, which almost everybody asks. You had made the case that maybe they shouldn't get one, or persuade me that they deserve one, because I don't know that we need to give one in this case. Do we know as any update?
Yeah, just had a meeting with the entire development team yesterday, and you've got word that the application is for the ARA, which is the request for abatement, is being pulled and projects moving ahead, which is great news for the city in terms of it's a $300+ million project, and with that comes, a lot of times development gets vilified in some circles. It's a extremely risky project when you start taking on something of this size and scale, especially when it's unprecedented in a community, right? It hasn't been proven. You're kind of the first to the post, so to speak. So I'm appreciative of this group's investment. People that care about having a good product in our city. But I appreciate them, respecting the idea that this is not the opportune time right now in the season of conversations around property tax. So they understand that as well. And so, I'm excited that project's moving ahead and that'll help build our tax base, and looking forward to working with them in these next couple of years as we get to see it come to fruition.
Okay, this is the super nerdiest question I may have ever asked you. But as I recall, a portion of this project would involve condos of people living in the facility, and would those then get the homestead exemption? You brought up the issue of, income constrained and what might happen if the amendment passes.
Right.
I wouldn't think that's a substantial chunk of the tax bill that they would owe, but am I right that that'd be at least some portion of it?
Yes, that's right. That's part of the tax bill would be any for sale condos. But what you don't know is how many of those would be second homes versus homesteads, right? That would be pretty unpredictable. But I will qualify, of course, they will be still applying for the Live Local tax abatement, which, of course, that we're preempted by the state on, and I support. I mean, that's for affordable apartment, affordable
Got
rental.
It.
So that is still part of the project. So as this moves forward, you might hear something about an abatement. It would be around, the Live Local state preemption.
Okay, no, and in good distinction as well. And I know it's probably not the biggest portion of this puzzle, but as you got me thinking about the property tax, I'm like, wait, I know something about that. That's going to affect us. And yeah, as you said,
right.
In an environment where property taxes may be dramatically affected and city and county revenue are going to be dramatically affected, maybe, maybe now is not the time to be begging for a tax abatement for anybody who's doing a development. So what's the next step? Where are we at in the timeline?
Yeah, so I believe what you'll see is right after the baseball season, you'll start to see some things happening over there in terms of temporary parking lots and things like that. You won't see vertical, construction for the buildings or anything yet, but permits are being applied for and issued. The lease reads that construction has to begin 45 days after all of the permits are pulled, but you'll start to see some activity now. So long story short, I think you'll start to see some activity this fall, we'll be able to get a more firm timeline when you'll start to actually see some of that vertical construction going up, which will be, of course, at some point in 2027.
Oh, so, I mean, we're at that point where this is a yes, let's go. I mean, we're on the clock.
Yeah absolutely. We've got ground leases in place. Again, I think financing's in place according to the group, and we're moving ahead.
So, wow, I mean, and anyway, this there's no more
for that, and
it's just permitting.
And
there's no more city council approval. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I would say it'll be the largest mixed use investment in the history of the city that we can find. So, not doesn't count Baptist Hospital, things like that, but in terms of a mixed use commercial hotel condo development, it would be the largest.
You'll have to forgive my stunned response because I have gotten myself into the Pensacolian habit after 13 years of just thinking that nothing is a done deal until I see it, And so whenever, no matter how good a project sounds, until I see actual construction taking place, it's a maybe. That's just kind of, this had been a maybe for me for so long that I had, it's hard to hear that it's a yes. So I'm excited. That's fantastic. Hang on for just, go ahead. What were you gonna say? Sorry.
We're excited to see it happen and more to come.
Man. All right, hang on for just a second. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. Well, Breakfast with the Blues is happening this morning in Pensacola Beach. The Bob Sykes Toll Plaza is backed up with traffic right now. U.S. 98 westbound running past the Naval Live Oaks area. Also seeing quite a bit of congestion. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, man. This is one of those, I think people were maybe trying to be smart and work around the Bob Sykes traffic. And what they decided to do was take 98 to get there. 98 is backed up almost through the entirety of the Naval Live Oaks. So maybe that wasn't the solution you were hoping for, even though I respect the game. I understand where you're coming from. It's the kind of thing I would have done as well. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, you talked yesterday, not you, but at the CRA meeting on Monday, we got an update on the Baptist demolition. It sounds like, things are really coming along. He didn't quite want to promise the end of the towers by the end of the year, but he said that maybe by December is when we'd start to see the end of everything.
Yeah, that's right. So towers 1, 2, and 3, to the north of the main campus, the main building, that's what's starting to be pulled down now. Just actually met with some surrounding neighbors, and they were very complimentary of you hear demolition, you wonder if you're going to be, your house is going to be rattling if you're nearby and that type of thing. That it's been, a pleasant surprise that it's been, obviously you can hear it, but not as bad. So that's a good thing. We don't want to have any negative neighborhood impacts. And they're moving along diligently on those three towers. If you go by there now, you start to see see them getting pulled down. So full steam ahead. And I think all of the abatement will be done. I think it's 95% complete on abatement, something like that. So
yeah, by the end of the month,
materials. Yeah. That need to be out of there. And so they're just kind of on the finishing touches of that.
And we're still the next step after it's been turned into a park, essentially a green space, the building's gone. The next step of development is in the very earliest phases where I cannot remember what happened at the city council meeting. Did we make a decision to actually move ahead or are we still waiting? We don't have a contractor, supervisor, overseer yet, right?
Right. I mean, ultimately, after the Bayou District situation, which was certainly disappointing and how that played out and, how many of those, many of the issues that, quote unquote, arose were intentionally misleading to council members. I went to Councilman Wiggins and said, hey, this is what we brought. Certainly want to assist you. And Chris Collins in my office and Larry have been working diligently on coming back with something. Ultimately, what we're coming back with is pretty much the exact same RFP. Unfortunately, you know, with just another 9 months that we didn't get community engagement, but we are where we are, and so, you know, Councilman Wiggins will be bringing that forward, and sometime soon. It might be the next meeting.
Oh, okay.
But you know, going through the RFP process for community engagement. So, and again, and that was the intentionally caused confusion last time was, as if the city was selling the property or that by just was going to be the developer.
Right.
It's the exact same thing. What we're saying is we're hiring somebody at the city of Pensacola to help us engage the community to ensure that we get into the details of what they want to see on those 38 acres. So it's really kind of round two, so to speak, take two, however you want to say it. And so I'm as urgent of wanting to get that going because, you know, every day that goes by is another day it's going to take us to have a plan for the 38 acres.
Confederate Monument, the cenotaph, the bottom portion is going in or has gone in. I think I saw photos of it actually being put in at the cemetery. And then the obelisk / statue, Rob Overton, UWF Historic Trust, says maybe some kind of at a different location, some kind of a historical educational comment, thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, certainly, you know, on any topic, any time, I think, you know, the community stepping up to you know, say, hey, city, you know, here's an idea and it's something that we want to do. You know, I would say, you know, politicians are in the problems business and that's what we sign up for. And I like people who come to us that are in the solutions business. And so, you know, St. John's reaching out to us and you know, and saying, hey, is this something that you'd be okay with? You know, I think, you know, the net good thing and probably as appropriate of a location as you can have versus putting something back in a city park and, you know, and everything that would come with that. And so so I appreciate them taking that on, UWF, having these conversations. And you know, I think that's the most reasonable outcome.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that it'll be somewhere that people can see it, they can learn about it, study it, whatever the case may be. Hey, weird question. You may not know the answer to this, but I always thought that the steps on the east side of Palo Fox, leading from the Baptist, the church, up to from the parking lot up to the street with the Confederate States with them in the order of secession. I always thought that was a very interesting piece. Do you know if the state's portion of the steps that had been removed, have those been preserved anywhere? Are those available for display or relocation?
Honestly, I heard you mention that yesterday, and you know, I take maybe a lack of self-awareness, pride, and knowing everything geographically about the city.
Yeah.
And that was the first I'd heard of that, actually.
Oh.
So you know, you trumped me on that one. Of course, that means the answer is I don't know.
Okay.
But we can look into that.
I think Adrian probably would know something like that because she knows everything that any of us
exactly.
don't know. No, but it's – and they may have been destroyed in the removing. I mean, I'm well aware that it's probably sure. hard to remove those without damaging them. But that's – to me, that was also an interesting part of that display, and I would, you know, love to see that being included in whatever UWF Historic Trust winds up doing with the thing in the end.
Yep.
Very quickly – maybe we don't have enough time to do this right now. You know what? I'm going to – better judgment is to know when I don't have time. I wanted to talk to you about Wayside Park. We can talk about it next week, which, by the way, the plan is next week to do a town hall. We're going to do a radio town hall.
Yes, absolutely. I'll be in there hanging out with you next Wednesday.
Outstanding. I think we have yet to decide whether it's going to be 7 to 8 or 7:30 to 8:30, but I guess 7 to 8 we've done in the – anyway, we'll figure it out. But next week you'll have a chance to ask the mayor any questions that you want, like we've done periodically in the past. We always like to end with the lightning round, you know, the frivolous topic kinds of questions. I don't know if you have an answer to this one or not. Are there any celebrity doppelgangers that confuse you? Like you sometimes get this person confused for that person?
Ooh, man, that's a big one. I thought you were going to ask what do I get when people, when I'm out on the street.
Oh,
but,
okay. All right. No, that's a good rephrase. What celebrity doppelganger do you get for you?
I get two overwhelming, which is either J.D. Vance or if it's somebody younger, like Michael Bublé. I get one of those two.
That's great. All right.
So well, you know, there's like a photo of me talking at a thing with like my mouth open. You know, somebody sends it to me, you know, looking like I'm singing or something. You know?
That's funny. But, well, I mean, look on the bright side. I get David Spade, so count your wins. if you are eating a hot dog, what's the most interesting way you've ever had a hot dog? What's the most interesting preparation, wrapper, fixins, whatever the case may be?
I'm just a traditional guy. I can't, you know, I haven't put it in a spinach wrap or anything, if that's what you're saying. You know what I did enjoy for the first time? When I went to a Red Sox game, I had the Fenway Frank that's in like the piece of white bread bun.
Okay.
I was inordinately excited for that when I was 20 years old when I went to my first Red Sox game.
The kind of thing that when you grab it just squishes up against the hot dog?
Yeah, like the bun is actually made like a piece of white bread. You know,
I got you.
Like a folded piece of white bread, yeah.
Last one, how do you open a straw?
If there's enough paper on the end, I will attempt the traditional rip, but if not, it's a bite.
A bite?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Toothpaste removal. We didn't even have that one yesterday. I like that. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always good to talk to you, sir. We look forward to city council meeting tomorrow night, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week, especially for that hour-long town hall on the radio that we're going to do. Thank you so much for the time, as always.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Andrew.
PJ has traffic on the fives.
Breakfast with the Blues happening this morning at Pensacola Beach. The Bob Sykes Toll Plaza still seeing some issues. Backed up with traffic right now. U.S. 98 westbound through the Gulf Breeze Naval Live Oaks area. Still backed up as well. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBV accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
It's the Pensacola Beach Blue Angels Air Show, a Gulf Coast tradition that brings families, friends, and the whole community together. As you set up your beach chairs, pack the cooler, and wait for that iconic diamond formation, Buffalo Rock Pepsi is the crisp, ice-cold refreshment that completes the moment. Celebrate the pride, the power, and the Pensacola spirit. The Blue Angels Air Show is an occasion, and occasions deserve Pepsi.
Service has always been a part of who I am. First in the Air Force, now helping families across Pensacola make one of the biggest decisions of their lives. Whether you're buying your first home, selling your current one, or relocating to our beautiful Gulf Coast, my team is here to help guide you every step of the way. I'm Wayne Peacock with the Peacock Group at Levin Rinke Realty, and if you're thinking about buying or selling, let's make your next move your best move. Visit us at peacockgroup.info. Again, that's peacockgroup.info.
I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, running for Escambia County School Board District 3. District 3 is asking for a change, and I agree. District 3 deserves a representative who will listen, communicate, and stay connected. I'm a retired military leader, a pastor, a community leader, and I'm ready to serve. I'll support teachers, strengthen schools, put students first, and always involve parents. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams. On August 18, I will appreciate your vote.
Paid political ad by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia School Board District 3.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You're not with military, you're not mercenary. What are you? Los tourists.
I'm no tourist.
Look, son, John Rambo is never a tourist. That's the truth. Oh, by the way, I just want to remind you that the interview with Mayor D.C. Reeves is always brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy, Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us, Dave. David?
Yeah, well, the U.S. launching fresh strikes on Iran this morning. U.S. Central Command saying that they're designed to degrade military capabilities.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.